Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino. On this week's episode, we will be talking about the best of this year's San Diego Comic-Con, including footage from the upcoming Mad Max sequel and the first official image of Wonder Woman from Batman vs. Superman: Dawn of Justice. Usually, I am joined by two co-hosts, but Lucas decided to take a vacation this week, so I'm just with Ryan DeMarco.
Thank you, Al. It's always my pleasure to fill a slot and take the spotlight, like Batman himself.
Lucas, if you're out there listening, we hate you that you're on vacation, and we wish we were there instead of you.
You bastard.
Yes. But since you're not here, we're going to do what you love to do and review beer. Ryan, I heard you brought something special for us today.
That's correct, Al. I brought with me Heady Topper, which is from Alchemist, which is brewed in Vermont. And for those of you who know it, it is brewed in a limited production, and usually when it's sold out in mere hours, maybe even less. So it's very, very rare in certain parts of the country, especially New Jersey. They don't sell this around here by us. But I had a source, and he was kind enough to bring us a couple samples, and we thank him for that. Cheers to you, my friend. Now, on to the beer. It is a double... is a double Indian Pale Ale, and as of 2013, it was actually rated the number one beer in the world, which is astounding to think about from all the beers we've had and all the beers that exist. And just from drinking it, it's definitely one of my favorites. Might be my favorite. It's awesome. I mean, once you, it even says on the can, drink from the can, so you don't pour this. So you really can't tell the head, but you instantly get a citrus smell upon opening it and your first taste. It's unfiltered and contains its 8% ABV, which is pretty powerful. So if you have a couple of these, consider yourself done for the night and you're going to stay in. But Al, what did you think of this?
Well, you've been building this beer up for, I feel like, a couple weeks now. You've been telling me about this beer that your friend, the mysterious friend, that you keep talking about. You showed me the can. It looked really interesting just from the can itself. I love at the top it says "drink from the can!" exclamation mark all around the top of the can, which is weird because usually our first instinct is to crack it open and pour it into a glass. Yeah. And then there's this, on the back, it has this huge, huge description of, you know, what you're drinking and how you should drink it. It even says, if you must pour it into a glass, you may find that some of the hops have been, you know, settled to the bottom. So they really, really recommend you drink it from the can. And you know what? I was pleasantly surprised. I wouldn't call it one of my favorite beers, but it's just something about it. You know, the hops, they stick with you throughout the whole experience. And it's not just like, oh, I can get used to this. You don't. You don't get used to how hoppy this beer is. And it definitely creeps up on you and just leaves that taste on your mouth the whole time.
In terms of bitterness, I would say about medium. It seems it's very smooth. And it's about medium aftertaste, along with that, you know, bitter finish. You get the constant taste of citrus or even like a grapefruit. I'm getting. You mentioned pine before?
Yeah, like the taste on my tongue. Right. It's just like it's so hoppy that it's almost like a sting.
But it's not overpowering.
It's not. It's not a bad sting. It's a very tasty kind of aftertaste. Like I don't regret drinking it.
Oh, no.
Complete opposite.
I'd have to slap you.
I know.
Ending thoughts. The whole drinking in the can thing is definitely different from what we've had in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I've had beers in cans before, and, you know, I like a lot of brewers have started putting in cans because they know that people like bringing them to parties and, you know, on the beach. Like, no one wants to really bring bottles on the beach. So it's cool that, you know, people are really experimenting with, you know, putting it in cans. But a beer that's strictly telling you, drink it from the can, you know, keep all the aromas that we've done, keep all the taste and the hops, you know, don't pour it. That's different to me, and I'm definitely a fan of it. The one thing that I really love is on the back of the can, it says, don't be a D-bag, recycle this can. So these guys are not only great brewers, but they're also hilarious.
One last input. On the outside, it looks like an energy drink. So that's kind of funny. You know, I feel like you can just not get in trouble for this. You can bring this anywhere and kind of just get away with
it. Yeah, as long as someone grabs a can from you and say, hey, is this alcohol?
Lasting thoughts. So this was worth the wait for me. I'm sure you probably think the same.
Same.
Yeah. It is
rating.
Rating. I might have to give this a 9.
Ooh.
This is amazing.
9. I'm gonna have to go a little down.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go 8.5.
8.5.
But it's still a good rating.
News Over Brews thinks this is well worth your wait.
If you can find this beer,
if you can find it, we recommend you try it because it just extends your palate. It's well worth it. It's smooth. It's powerful. It's worth a drink. So if you have your heady topper with you, cheers. Now on to the news.
Well, Rye, something big kind of happened last week. I forgot what it's called. Is it some kind of Comic-Con of some sort?
It was in California, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they do it like every so often, probably like once a year. Oh, yeah, San Diego Comic-Con, the thing we...
Oh, right.
Yeah, the thing we weren't at, which is very, very depressing.
That's expensive.
It's
really
expensive.
Yeah.
We've been wanting to go forever, and I've always...
It's about a dream, man.
Yeah, I've always compared it to Mecca. It's like, it's the holy city that we have to go to. We have to go to San Diego Comic-Con one day, because it's a dream of ours.
I compare it to crack.
Or crack, yes. Yeah, but we're going to go.
We have to be there.
You know, over the years, it's become Hollywood's. You know, it's almost like their Super Bowl, where they, you know, they go and they kind of show their stuff. They show, like, you know, this is what we have. You know,
yeah, they can literally do anything, and the fans will eat it up.
Yeah, it's where they, you know, kind of they make their big announcements, casting decisions, sequel news, show first footage of stuff. And, you know, they get reactions from, you know, the craziest fans of all. And then, you know, a lot of the companies do, you know, live blogging or, you know, they'll even do these huge panels and get all the stars involved and get all these celebrities involved. Most notably, like The Hobbit, they had pretty much the entire cast was there and they got Stephen Colbert of all people, you know, he was the moderator for it, which is awesome. So, and then, you know, they put all this stuff online and just builds up the buzz for these movies. So
if I could summarize, I would say this was probably one of the best Comic-Cons in probably some time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was as great as last year's Comic-Con, because last year's you got, you know, the two biggest announcements was, you know, they're going to make an Avengers sequel, Avengers Age of Ultron, which obviously everyone knew was coming, but no one knew what it was going to be about. And it was cool that this villain was announced, which was great. And then also you had, oh yeah, by the way, the next Superman movie is going to be Superman vs. Batman. So everyone went nuts. You know, the internet lost their minds. This year, really, it was just kind of a rehash of what happened last year. It was more of like...
It was kind of showing proof.
It was showing proof of those two things. And, the, you know, the first thing we're going to talk about is obviously, you know, Zack Snyder came with, you know, Batman versus Superman, and he brought the stars with him. They all came and surprised everyone. Ben Affleck, Henry Cavill, and
Let's go with Gadot.
The girl from Fast and Furious. So, and one of the big things that they showed was we already saw Henry Cavill as Superman, obviously, with Man of Steel, and images of him from the new movie coming up. And then we saw, you know, the first official image, and another image recently with the first day of Comic-Con, second day of Comic-Con, of Ben Affleck in the Batsuit. And the one we were missing was Wonder Woman. And now we saw this, the first picture of her. And I mean, I was blown away. Right. What did you think?
I loved it. I mean, it was very Zack Snyder-y. I was like, wow, this is like Wonder Woman in the 300 land, pretty much. It really was. I would say I hope the costume has some color. I wouldn't want it to be like a complete bronze outfit, but the way it looked. But, oh, man, I loved it. She looked amazing, pretty much. You know, she could completely, like, when she was cast, I was surprised. I was like, I don't know if she can really pull it off. Just in that outfit alone, you can tell she can pull it off. I mean, she's sexy. She's in shape. She has that fierce look in the picture, if you haven't seen it by now. But I think the world's seen it five times over already. But yeah, it builds up. I will say I feel like it is. It doesn't live up to Ben Affleck's Batman. When the Batman picture came out, I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
This is happening. Mm-hmm. Ben Affleck looks amazing as Batman. I'm so happy.
Crazy.
He's going to be the best Batman, I'm telling you.
I don't disagree, honestly. We can go on forever.
We can go on forever.
But talk about how amazing Ben Affleck is going to be as Batman. But yeah, I mean, I was not surprised when they chose her. Zack Snyder usually picks these great actors out of left field for these really, really awesome roles. He's obsessed with making comic book movies, apparently, and I'm okay with this. And, yeah, I mean, she was a great choice, but
She's
an interesting choice. I saw a lot of people complain that, you know, she's like, oh, she's really skinny. Like, she's skinny for Wonder Woman. I was like, yeah. Did you see American Ninja Warrior? I mean, the girl was, like, 5'1", 100 pounds, and she was like... She made it look like anyone can do it. So
with males' perceptive of the female body, there will never be a perfect Wonder Woman physically.
No.
However, she fits the part. She looks perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Her acting capabilities, I have no question of. However, she will bring something to the screen that Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill failed to do. It's just that female... Just perspective, just that whole thing. All together, all these actors together will make a damn good movie, and I feel like DC single-handedly took Comic-Con by storm. They kind of won the event in a way, and so to speak, by the movie and just releasing that Wonder Woman image and just kind of just stirring the pot a little bit.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think last year Marvel kicked some butt with their Comic-Con panels, and even with DC announcing Batman vs Superman, I think they were still overshadowed by how, you know, Marvel brought everything to the table. I think they played it safe this year and did the exact same thing they did last year. Yes. That was the problem. That's why I think DC won, because they not only showed. They not only showed the first image of Wonder Woman, but they also showed, apparently they showed some footage of Ben Affleck as Batman, actual footage, which is great. And I mean, honestly, it's probably the most anticipated movie.
Two of the oldest superheroes.
Not even of a generation. I mean, these characters have been around for, 75 years? Yeah. So, like, this is obviously going to be... an event, to say the least. I mean, and isn't it also coming out the same exact weekend as a Marvel film?
It's coming out the same exact weekend as Captain America 3.
That is going to be an amazing weekend for films. That is going to be an amazing year.
Make $1 billion that weekend.
Yes, that's it. They're going to make $1 billion that weekend. News Over Bruce calls it. No. But yeah, I mean, I think that Snyder picked a great Wonder Woman. She looks awesome. Yeah, it looks a little 300-y, but nonetheless, I'm very excited to see what he's going to do with this film. And now that he doesn't have to reintroduce any characters, really. Oh, let's try this again. He doesn't have to reintroduce Superman, so now he can focus on creating the Justice League. He's going to be introducing Cyborg, Wonder Woman, you know, obviously a new Batman, an older... aged veteran type Batman, which is going to be reminiscent of Frank Miller's Batman from The Dark Knight Returns. And, you know, he's got a great relationship with Frank Miller. He's already done a Frank Miller adaptation with 300. So I think he's got the tone, you know, down Now we just got to see the finished product, and we haven't even seen a trailer yet, so.
No, I have a question for you, though, Al. For this movie, which is going to be a huge, huge event, obviously, do you think it's going to suffer from the Iron Man 2 effect, where it's going to be focusing way too much time setting up the Justice League rather than its own thing?
It could, and that's a problem. Because, yeah, where Iron Man 2 was trying to set and expand the Marvel Universe by introducing S.H.I.E.L.D. and Black Widow, incorporating Nick Fury, yeah, it did suffer a lot. But you know what? Iron Man 2 didn't... That wasn't the worst parts of Iron Man 2. That was the best parts of Iron Man 2, if you really think about it. You know, those parts and the parts with Justin Hammer are the best parts, but it was the parts with Whiplash that are really kind of lackluster. Mm-hmm. Except for that scene where he almost kills him on the track. That was really cool. But I just feel like, you know, that villain as a whole was not good for that film. Yeah, I believe that it could be bad if it's not done right, where you're introducing too many characters in one film and not focusing on the characters that are in the name of the film. You have Batman versus Superman. That's what the movie should be. It either should be that or World's Finest. I can argue about this forever, that this title is too long. It's weird. Just name it Dawn of Justice or Batman vs. Superman. You don't need to name them both.
Yeah.
Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, of the League, of villains, of, you know, come on. How long do you want this title to be?
It just reverts back to DC where you can tell they are just scrambling together trying to keep up with Marvel. That's what questions me about this movie. It's just, are they trying to just, because like when Man of Steel came out, you're like, okay, obviously, you know, they have a steady DC hero now. But then the next movie, they're like, all right, we're going to throw every hero in it so we can quickly jump to Justice League and try to keep up with Marvel. They had independent movies for, you know, Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Captain America. Obviously, it took years to come up to the Avengers. This one, they had one movie, and now they're throwing five other heroes into it.
I think
next movie.
I think they don't want to repeat what Marvel has done, so they don't want to take the Marvel method. They don't want to say, "All right, let's make individual movies for each person, and then like make a Justice League movie at the end." They're like, because then people are going to just be like, "Oh, you're just copying Marvel." And then at the same time, B, they want to also catch up with Marvel. So Marvel, yes. So now if they introduce all these characters in this one film, then they can spawn them off right after. And they can also judge by the audience reaction to each character, you know, through social media, through critics. They can say, Cyborg was the best part of this movie. Let's make a Cyborg movie.
Mm.
You know, Wonder Woman, she wasn't good. Oh, let's recast her. You know, because that's what's going to happen. That's the sad part. Not because, you know, they're going to recast everyone. I think it's all set in stone with contracts and whatever. But, you know, they're going to try this method because Marvel hasn't done it yet. So we were going to just have to wait and see on, you know, some first footage from Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. And we're going to hope for the best because, I mean, it looks great. So hopefully it's going to be great. Honestly, at this point, this podcast should just be about beer and superheroes because I feel like that's all we talk about. Another awesome thing that happened at Comic-Con was we got some more information about the third season of Arrow, which is one of my favorite shows on television. And we were also given a really, really cool trailer that shows, you know, where the characters have been and where they're going with this next season. And then a couple days later, after Comic-Con, they show us a new trailer. It's the exact same trailer, but with an additional scene at the end teasing the villain for the third season. The villain that has been teased since the first season is finally making an appearance in this newest season, and it's Ra's al Ghul. And for all the Batman fans out there, you know, of Nolan's trilogy, you know Ra's al Ghul. He was famously played by Liam Neeson in Batman Begins, and he made a small cameo in The Dark Knight Rises. Now, as a Arrow fan, I'm excited. The main villain of the first season was the Dark Archer, played by John Barrowman, and the second season had Deathstroke. Who was awesome, and you know, you saw him on the island in the flashbacks, and then you know, in present day, trying to just destroy Oliver's life. Now we have Ra's al Ghul, and it looks like it's the Ra's al Ghul from, like, the Batman and, you know, the comics. It's not, you know, not the Liam Neeson fooling everyone kind of Ra's al Ghul. So
it's trickery.
It's the trickery. he looks, you know, it's a very authentic version of the character, and I thought it was really cool. I honestly thought they shouldn't have showed us. They should have waited for the season to start. Like, I feel like with television shows especially, there is no surprises anymore.
Yeah.
They always show you, whether in the trailer, like, there's never room for surprise. But I'm really excited regardless. Ryan, I know you don't really watch Arrow that much, but I've been telling you forever to watch it.
yeah.
What do you think about this DC television universe expanding with these shows like Arrow and The Flash, and now you're going to have crossovers between them as well as introducing all these famous comic book villains?
Well, it's the new trend. I mean, I was just thinking about this today. It's just the expanded universe for movies, for TV. I feel like everything that's going on now, it's going to try to do an expanded universe. Now, it started with Marvel, now DC, now it's moving to TV, television for Marvel and DC, and it's going to be Star Wars, and it's going to be this whole interconnected, this web of just stories, and, you know, that's awesome. I mean, I love it. That's going to be Ra's al Ghul. That's cool. I mean, I kind of agree with you for what you said. It's kind of a misfortune they gave it away already, but I feel like it's also another way to hook people in.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no way. There's really not a reason to go against it. It's really an awesome way to keep people in. You know, to see how, because it's like a comic book, pretty much. You know, it's, for every event that goes on, there's a thousand different side events.
Yeah, tie-ins. Yeah, exactly. One shots. You know, you got everything.
That's cool. Yeah.
The only thing that I'm disappointed at is, a lot of DC, a lot of people high up in DC have denied pretty much completely all the rumors that the DC television universe and the movie universe would be linked. They're going to be separate. Now, that's fine. But at the same time, when you're going against Marvel, who now has Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
They have a commanding lead.
Yeah, they have a commanding lead. They have their own show that's linked with their universe, with characters introduced that they can bring in from the movies and take out of the show and bring into the movies. And now they're introducing, what, 5 new series in Netflix?
Yeah.
All going to be linked in the same Marvel universe. They're going to have tie-ins. They're going to have all the, you know, these characters can pop in and out. That's fantastic. DC, you're dropping the ball on this one because Stephen Amell is a perfect Green Arrow. He's already proved it with 2 successful seasons, going on a third. You don't even need to cast a Green Arrow for your DC, you know, for your Justice League. You already got him. The Flash, his season hasn't even came out yet, and it's going to be incredibly successful because of how well he was introduced in Arrow. Why put yourself through the trouble of finding new actors to play these roles when you can keep all of them together? It would actually make people want to watch the television show more.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
You know? Yeah. So, I mean, we went on this whole Marvel DC rant in the last segment, but I don't want to repeat myself. I think, you know, DC, yeah, do your own thing, but take a page out of the Marvel book, man. You have to adapt. You already introduced 2 awesome characters. Bring them in. You know, put them all together. You know, it's all these fresh new faces. It's not like you're taking veteran actors with, I mean, obviously you are taking some veteran actors, but you're not taking, you know, pre-established, you know, a superhero with 3 movies and mixing it with someone who has 2 seasons of a television show. Man of Steel is the first movie out of this DC universe that you're trying to build in the movies. You know, you're not counting Green Lantern, you're not counting Nolan's trilogy. Mix it with Arrow, mix it with a Flash. What harm could that do? I don't get it. I don't understand, but we'll never understand. Going back to Arrow, going back to Ra's al Ghul, I think that's a great, awesome move. The trailer also teased that Oliver and Felicity might be getting together. You know, they're going on a date. A lot of people have been shipping for them to go for them to go out and to be together. It's, you know, we never know what's going to actually happen. Arrow can, you know, the writers can always change it in the last minute. We'll see what happens. But I'm really excited for the third season of Arrow, and you should be too. If you're not watching yet, go on Netflix, go on Hulu, buy the seasons, get caught up. Now we're going to go into our last segment of the night, and, you know, San Diego Comic-Con was really, it was great. It was really busy, and there was a lot of stuff, a lot of coverage, a lot of film, television, comics, but honestly, hands down, Ry, what was the best thing from San Diego Comic-Con?
Mad Max.
I really would never have thought that, honestly.
I know. Seriously, this movie, I've been following it because I watched the Mel Gibson ones years ago when I was a young tadpole, and this movie has been plagued by post-production problems over and over again.
Yeah.
Now, finally, they're coming around to it, and they're finally releasing stuff. Like, they released a poster, and, like, finally, like, more news, like, it was coming out soon. They kept pushing back the release date, and I'm like, this movie's going to be a heap of crap.
Yeah.
It's not going to be good. However, I said about Dread, and Dread was amazing. Dread had some problems. But they released a trailer at the Comic-Con, and this movie just exploded. This trailer was incredible. Yeah. I can't stress it enough. I've watched it like 50 times already. Like, you want me to explain it right now?
Obviously.
It seems like it takes place, it's not a reboot. I feel like it's going to carry on the Mel Gibson legacy. Tom Hardy, who is playing Mad Max now, is going to keep, he's keeping the torch, you know, from Mel Gibson. He's going to be playing Max, who in the post-apocalyptic future, after his family is murdered, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the first one 30 years ago, he is kind of just going through the future. Going from gang to gang, just kind of just surviving off gasoline and whatever he can find. It just seems like a continuation from that series, which ended in 1985 with Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome with Tina Turner. Dear God. I know. Well, at one
This time around, we have Charlize Theron.
We have Charlize Theron and Nicholas Holt.
Yeah, he's the bad guy, right?
I'm not entirely clear with that, but he is in it. I know that. I know Charlize Theron. He's in it. You've heard it here. But the trailer, which you want to hear, it does not disappoint. I'm telling you, if you're a skeptic on this, do not be. Just watch the trailer. You will be sold in the first minute.
Yeah.
It looks amazing. It's from the thing is, it's from the same director that did all three Mad Maxes, which started in the 70s, which is insane.
That's so weird.
George Miller.
Yeah.
It's like Richard Donner with the Lethal Weapon series. He did all four of them.
Mm-hmm.
It does not happen that a director does all four of the same series. However, I digress. It looks amazing. It looks like he hasn't lost a beat. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's intense. It's cutting edge. It looks like it's catered to the modern audience pretty much, with just like the camera angles, the action picks off Tom Hardy. He looks amazing as Mad Max. He doesn't say a whole lot in the trailer, but you can tell he owns the picture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ranting again. Al, as a first time viewer, you've never seen any of the Mad Maxes.
No.
So forget Mel Gibson, forget Tina Turner, forget every one of the first three films. What did you think about this footage, and what are your expectations of the movie?
Well, it's weird to be on the opposite end of this, having not seen any of the previous films. This has only happened a couple times between me, you, and Lucas, who's not here because he's on vacation, because, you know, he can do that kind of thing.
He has a life.
Yeah, man. He has a life, apparently. I was blown away like you mentioned, with this Mad Max trailer, like, honestly, it looks like it's from a director who's, like, brand new and he's trying to bring new life to cinema, and, like a Neil Blomkamp or a, you know, like, just, it really, the trailer kind of exploded from the screen. It was beyond cinema. And it's so weird that it's from this old director who's directed this
George same Miller, movie yeah.
three times.
You call him by name. His name is George Miller.
George Miller doesn't, his age does not, is not shown in this film. The whole trailer is nonstop action.
Yes.
It doesn't stop. It's ridiculous. And it almost looks like it takes place in the same one-shot desert. And it doesn't even matter because of how much is happening. It's just action and explosions and drama and just death and destruction. And it just looks ridiculous. I mean, I love Tom Hardy and everything that he does. Charlize Theron is one of the greatest actresses in Hollywood right
barely,
now.
You barely see anyone besides Max and exploding cars the whole time.
No, it's the whole time. And you know what? It still looks beyond epic. And not even just in an action standpoint, in just a great film standpoint. It looks
exactly
beautifully shot. The cinematography looks insane. I don't think I've been this excited for a movie because of how well it looks since Prometheus. And you're going to think, oh, well, you know, Prometheus wasn't that good. But if you think about it, how well was Prometheus shot? Yeah, that's what I thought. This movie looks so freaking good. I can't wait for it.
Lasting thoughts? It looks amazing. If you haven't seen the trailer, see the trailer. If you haven't seen the first three movies, you're an idiot. Watch the first three movies.
Hey.
I'm sorry. I meant the viewers, not the person sitting next to me.
Okay. Well, all right, that's fine. You're just talking about the viewers. But yeah, I mean, if you haven't checked out this trailer yet, I suggest, please, please do yourself a favor. Go watch the trailer for Mad Max Fury Road. Do we have a release date?
It is May 15th.
May
2015.
In a crazy busy summer of film. Yeah.
That comes out, for those of you keeping count, 2 weeks after Avengers, which frightens me. Yes. However, see it anyway.
Yeah, I would definitely go see it. I
save
mean, Avengers,
up some money.
Avengers is going to still be killing it at the box office by then, but I would definitely go check out Mad Max after you've watched Avengers at least 4 to 5 times.
In the first 2 weeks? Yeah, you can do it.
Yeah, you can probably do it.
It's happening.
Now, that's going to wrap it up for another episode of News Over Brews. I'm Al Manarino, and is it summer 2015 yet?
And I'm Ryan DeMarco, and I can pretend it's 2015 if you wanted, but still not as much satisfaction as if it actually was 2015.
Thanks for listening.